Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part three of a special three-part interview with Nancy May. She's the author of the book, How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, Step by Step, Before, During, and After. Now, if you missed any of the prior two interviews, these episodes, you need to go back and catch up because we do not have time to cover all the information we've already given. Folks, the reason this is three interviews is because this is so vital. The information Nancy May has been sharing with us is so important. I could not cut anything out during the editing process. I just refused to do so. So we made three special episodes to get you this information. If you're caring for, you are the caregiver for, let's say, your elderly parents or a loved one, child, you need this information. This is information that can save your loved one's life. And even if you do not have that caregiver power right now, you need this book. You need this information just to prepare your family for things like this because emergencies happen. Emergencies will happen. That is a fact of life. And how you prepare in advance will determine whether or not you or your loved ones will survive. Now, we're just going to jump right back into this interview now with Nancy May. You also talk in your book about how to assist first responders and help them while they're there in the home, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot that you can do to help a first responder. First of all, I mean, one of the main things that you need to do is you need to make sure that the entranceway from your house is safe for a first responder to get to that door. Remove clutter. I mean, this is stuff you can do beforehand. You don't even need to do it, you know, when there's an emergency because you're going to be taking care of the person. But make sure that there's no clutter that can quickly get into your home. And then once they're in there, make sure you have all the records of what are the main, well, I'd say not all the records, but the main care records of the person who's in distress. You know, what is their date of birth? Certainly that's important. Age, so you know, the age and date of birth. What are the current medicines that they're on? Because they may need to administer some sort of injection, and they don't want to kill who they've come to help. The more that they know about the current medical condition, is there a heart issue already? Are they on a large amount of medications? What are the medications where there could be interactions? Are there any implants that they need to worry about? So if they're doing an AED, which is an electronic, so like heart starting instead of manual CPR, they want to know, is there a pacemaker there? Are there other things that are going on that they need to worry about? If they don't have that information, they could make a mistake, and they don't want to do that. They really want to make sure that they transport who you love in good condition, breathing, to the hospital where they can get even better care.
And plus the emergency medical staff at the hospital, they're going to need this information too.
Yep, absolutely. There's something called a file of life. And if anybody doesn't have one or wants one, all they need to do is go to www.howtosurvive911.com. Give us your name. We will send, and your email address, we'll send you a free file of life and how to fill it out. Amen. It's all, you know, it's a fillable PDF, so you don't have to just print it out manually, write it in, so you can change it as many times as you want. But that's the thing that you want to give to an EMT or paramedic or first responder. And you want to have several copies. So you have one to give to them. You have another one that they will take. So give them two copies that they will take to give to the emergency department medical professionals. You have to bring one for your own self, so you've got an extra copy there. And then one is a backup that you can always have just in case they do get lost. They blow away, people lose them, whatever it is. And then make sure you have one at home, always on file in case something else happens. And God forbid, the EMTs lose it, get lost in transport, the doctors lose it, you lose it. You've always got another backup available. And you can put it on your phone, a PDF. But the problem there is that sometimes you forget where it is, you know, on your file. So it's important to know where that is.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot with my phone. I'm looking for something I can't find.
Right.
So what if you're not living with the person who needs help? For example, you know, they're independent and they've been able to care for themselves, you know.
Right.
My kids live about 5 miles or so from me, as an example. If someone was in a situation like that, we'll just use your situation with the hurricane blowing through and roads are not passable for a couple of days, and you get this phone call from a loved one saying, you know, I just don't feel well right now. I mean, what should you do? How can you get the first responders to the person's home and get them inside to render if they're incapable of even getting to the door?
Yeah. So in that particular case, make sure that you have the direct phone number for their local emergency responders. Because if you dial 911 your next town over, 911's going to come to your house, not
right.
their house.
Yeah.
So know that you've got, you know, a quick dial on your phone. I would even put the quick dial, you know, right on in your files, you know, your contact files on your phone if you're doing a cell phone, and just say, you know, number one, you know, so you've got like a quick way to access it, or ICE, you know, ICE in case of emergency, they say, is another way to put it on your phone so you always know the key people to call. Have a printout, you know, next to your own phone if you've got a landline phone or a book, quickly, so you know exactly who to call and where it is. And make the call for them if they can't do it themselves. And say, I'll be right there. Now, you know, in our particular case, I'm 1,500 miles away from mom and dad. They're not independent. You know, dad's now passed, but even still, I have cameras in the house. And these cameras are there because my aides can then say, Nance, we're calling 911. We want you to get on the camera so you see what's going on. I have a visual connection to see what's happening. And I can be on the phone at the same time, or I can be on the speaker on the camera. I prefer to be on the phone. Just it's a little easier to have a stronger connection. It doesn't scare your mom or dad at the time to hear like the voice of Nancy coming in. It's like, I'm not trying to plead like the voice of God. It's the voice of Nancy. It's like, hello.
Amen.
So, you know, that has been a great help for us to be able to say we're tag teaming. My aides are there. They're, you know, right on hand. Should they make the call? I have a visual connection. They want to make the call. I back them up 100% within seconds. We move really fast.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's fast forward a little bit. You made the call. They've been taken to the hospital. Care has been rendered. Now comes the discharge procedures. You know, what do you need to know? How can you help the person not just recover from this emergency physically, but mentally as well?
So, you know, things may actually change. You know, if there's been a major medical condition like a stroke or a heart attack, the easiest thing to do or the best thing to do is sort of just get a pulse of where the mental and emotional condition is of your parent or your loved one, so that you are in tune. As much as you want to take charge, and we are taking charge, certainly I did. I'm like a force to be reckoned with when it takes to deal with my folks. But I always wanted to know where they were and to let them know everything's going to be okay. Things are under control. They don't need to worry about anything. But I also want them to not feel that they're not included. So that's really important. I think that's one step. The other is in discharge in general, they're going to be wanting to get the heck out of there as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And discharge, depending upon the doctor, happens a little differently in different hospitals. But the doctors will sometimes, what I call stack discharges up in a particular time and day and when they do them all at once, because they're taking care of many people.
Right.
And you want to find out what time of day they're doing that and how they do it. So the more information you have and how the doctor and the hospital operate and process, the better off you can be. So you know approximately when it's going to be happening. Because otherwise, you've probably been in the hospital and you say, we're going to be discharged today, but I've been told that at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's now 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, the day is almost done. Did I miss that window? Sometimes the discharge papers have already been done and you don't know it. And they're sitting somewhere in a copy machine or in a fax machine, or something's been signed off, or it's in a file. You want to find out where it is. So all you do, be a volunteer. Say, hey, listen, you know, I understand that, you know, Dr. So-and-so has done the discharge at this particular time of day. So I'm presuming that we're in that pile. what can I do to aid you, the nurse, the paramedic? Well, it would be the paramedic in the hospital, right. The administrator, the floor admin. What can I do to get there? And then sometimes, you know, there are other unique situations. So in one particular case with my dad, we needed to move him from one hospital to another. And so the first hospital needed to discharge him so he could be transported to the other, which was an extreme cardiac care facility hospital. And we were getting nowhere at all. So finally, I decided, let me sort of roam the hallways and see what's really going on. And I went down to where the administrative offices was. And I saw a whole room of probably admins, you know, professionals talking in a room. I said, there's some sort of conferences, some sort of education going. And I marched into the HR department. I told you, I'm a force to be reckoned with. Hurricane Nancy might be the name. Tornado Nancy. I walked in. I got the HR admin sitting at the desk. I said, hello, my name is Nancy May. Here's the deal. How can I get this done? If you can't get it done, I'm taking them out myself and I'm driving them down the hallway, or I'm getting the help that I need, because you guys are in a pickle barrel. If you can't get this done, I'm talking about life and death. You need to get them out to the cardiac care because you can't provide it. So she said, within seconds, she got the head of the nurse of the entire hospital at the time on, and I explained what's happening. Darn if that nurse didn't get us out there within an hour and 45 minutes. And she said, keep calling me, get on. And I probably burned off more calories between the seventh floor and the main floor today, but we got it done. Amen. So when in doubt, go to the next higher power, go to the next, and keep pushing. Amen. Don't take no for an answer.
Amen.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to push against authority. I think that's, you know, I hate to keep harping on that. But when you are dealing and caring for somebody, the stress that you're under is real. Mm. And sometimes we short circuit ourselves. Mm. So you really have to hone in on what is your goal and go for it and just be a pain in the neck. Just PITA, as we say.
Amen. Yeah, that story reminds me of a colonel we had when I was in the Cav. You know, and he'd call up, you know, we're out on maneuvers, whatever, in this tank, particular tank or whatever is down. He'd call up on the radio, what's the status on this tank? And I look up at the status board and tell him, well, it says it'll be ready in 4 hours. Yeah, I know. When is it going to be ready? You know, give me a time, specific time.
Yep.
And, you know, I was like, he wanted specifics. And I said, well, they say it's be ready in another hour or so. Who's they? Who did you talk to?
Yeah.
You
know, they doesn't
specific
count.
Specific name. Yeah. Yeah. I had another commander in the, when I was in the Army, different unit. And he actually had a Vietnamese guy as his driver. And the guy's name was They. And he'd have him in his staff meetings. And they said, well, they said this. And he turned around and said, They, did you say that? No, sir.
That sounds like a comedy sketch.
It was classic. I mean, he just turned around and said, They, did they say that? No, sir.
Who's on first, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Abbott Costello.
Oh, the emergency, as you just alluded to, doesn't just affect the person, it affects you as
very
well.
So.
What
yeah.
steps can the caregiver take to mentally recover from the stress of dealing with all this?
Oh, you know, there's so much stress that we don't realize that's happening to us. And the last big stage of issues that I was dealing with my dad. And so it went in two stages. And he mentally strong and fine, but his heart valve basically just calcified and gave out. And I thought I had everything totally in control. You know, like I'm this control freak. I'm going to be CEO. You know, this hospital doesn't know what hit them till I leave. They're going to be the ones that are going to need the shrink, not me.
I can visualize it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, she's gone. Quick, close the door, lock it. But, you know, I felt one day I was sitting out back of my parents' house on a little patio that they have, chatting with my lead aide, and I said, you know, I've got this like tightness in my chest, and I've been feeling like maybe I've got an issue. And she goes, Nancy, and it's anxiety. And I didn't realize that what was happening is my whole body was sort of contracting as well. And you know, the hardest thing to do is to first recognize it. And just, you have to be in tune with how your breathing is feeling, where your heart is feeling, the tension in your arms and your legs. And as hard as it is to do, you know, I say relax. And I'm like, yeah, go take a hike, Nance, right? Relax. But there's this one little exercise that a friend of mine, who's also a hypnotherapist, did and shared with me years back. And it really works. And it's called box breathing. And you know, you've been in the military. You probably know about this method. Mm-hmm. And box breathing is where you stop, you know, try and clear your mind of distraction, which is not easy to do when you're caregiving. And that's all right. But this will help. You take breath and you count in 1, 2, 3, 4. You hold it for 4 seconds. You see imaginary line across the top of the box. And then you breathe out, 1, 2, 3, 4. And if you imagine that you hold it in across the bottom of the box for 4 seconds, you breathe out for 4 seconds along the side, you hold it again at the top of the box, and you breathe down for another 4 seconds. So you draw an imaginary line about around the box and just close your eyes and do that 3 or 4 times. And you'll feel like this weight has just come out of your body, and it slows your breathing down. It brings more oxygen into your system, and it will help you just take the edge off.
Yeah. Amen.
So it's one little exercise. And then the other is, you know, try and be kind to yourself. Make sure you've got nutrition. Get some physical exercise. If you're in the hospital, walk the hallways, you know, walk up and down. You're going to drive the nurse's station crazy. But do it. You'll get to know the other people that are there too, and they will get to know you. You're not just an interloper. You're somebody who cares. And they, once they notice that, they will also be there for you too.
I don't know. I suppose each hospital might be a little different, but with this COVID stuff going on, they may not want you to walk the hallways.
That's true. They may not.
Stay sitting right there.
Yeah, one thing I did every time Dad was in the hospital is before I got to the hospital in the morning, I would stop at Dunkin' Donuts and get a box of Joe, and then I get 2 dozen donuts and I bring them into the nurse's station and say, "Would you like some donuts?" And they're like, "Oh my God, we love you." They would do anything for me.
Amen.
And it makes you feel good to doing something kind for others. Because
they're not recognized for all the work that they do. They really aren't.
You know, a little bit of kindness to others, even though you're under stress, I firmly believe takes a little bit of pressure off of you, because it allows you just to open up a little bit.
Yeah. Amen. Now, this next part is a sensitive topic, but I believe we need to address it. What if your loved one's going to be sent to a residential care facility, a nursing home? What if they don't want to go? Are there other options?
Well, there are other options. You know, the one option is to go home. And that's the key thing. If they don't want to go to a facility, and that could be a rehab facility typically, and depending upon your insurance, you've got a certain number of days that will be covered on average with Medicare and Medicaid. But even still, you know, the idea is they want to be home. 90% of people really want to be in their home. They don't want to be in a facility. Yep. So if they're going home, you really want to make sure you have the right amount of support and care to help you. You cannot do it by yourself. You will wear out. You will burn out. You will be frustrated and you'll be angry. And the last thing you want to do at the time that somebody leaves us on this earth and goes to wherever we go to, I'd like to say, could you kind of come back and tell me a little bit more about that? But we don't have that privilege. You don't want to be angry at the time of their passing.
Yeah.
And so getting as much help and support as you can, even if it's for a few hours a day, is critical to doing so. And they may not want you to help them with washing and bathing. It may be easier for them to have a stranger versus a child, an adult child doing that, because they're the parent after all, right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, so. That's good. Amen. Nancy, this has been one of the most important interviews I think that I've done. I mean, the information you provided in your book is so needful. I believe every family needs to have this book handy because you just never know. I mean, it's not just about caring for elderly parents, but for kids and next door neighbors.
Absolutely.
Everybody else, right? Yeah.
And you don't need to do everything at once. It's a simple book. It's 112 pages. It's written very easy to follow. We've not put complicated terms and technology in there. And you don't need to do it all at once. I was talking to a fellow I know who'd been a Fortune 500 CEO earlier today. And he said, Nancy, you know, I get the impression I have to do this all at once. And I'm like, Mike, like, what part of doing it all at once did I say in the book? But, you know, it's a different type of personality that's saying, you know, yeah. I'm the leader. I've always been a leader. So we have to do this all the way, conquer the hill, right? No, yeah. You just take one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. It's okay.
Amen. Amen. And your book's available on your website.
If you go to howtosurvive911.com, mm-hmm. you can get a free file of life and there'll be a link to get the book. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
And if you just type in Amazon, how to survive 911 medical emergencies, it'll pop up mm-hmm. as the number one. And, you know, it's important to know that, you know, in sort of understanding where we will be at some point in our lives. And in sort of thinking about the ministry that you do, I found a passage that was John 21:18. Mm-hmm. And it said, when you are old, you will stretch out your arms and another will dress you and carry you to where you may not want to go.
Yeah,
I think that's so important to remember and to try and put yourself at as many times as you can in the position of the people that you love and care for, because you too will be there if you're lucky at some point in your life.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. So if someone wanted to reach out to you, I'm going to put a link to all this down on show notes, by the way. And if someone wanted to reach out to you, ask a question or maybe do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you know, the easiest way if they're on Facebook is just come join our little Facebook group, which is called Elder Care Success. They can certainly do that. I'm on Facebook. It's Nancy May, Elder Care Success. You'll get me right there. On LinkedIn, I'm in LinkedIn. They can just tap into me on social media, and I will respond immediately. Send me a private message, and we'll get it done. Amen. But if anybody's dealing with a family member, they're also welcome to join the Elder Care Success group on Facebook. We have all sorts of questions and what we're trying to do is provide some support and advice, but to do it in a way that is relieving the anger and the stress in a very positive and uplifting way. It's hard. It's stressful. It's not an easy time of life.
Yeah.
But there's so many joys that can be had out of it, both for you and for the people that you love, even if there's a little bit of tension between the two of you.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, you've heard the discussion, and I pray that you realize how important it is to prepare for the possible emergencies beforehand. I mean, if you're caring for a loved one, you need to know in advance what to do before an emergency arises. And Nancy May's book, How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, Step by Step, Before, During, and After, it really is a must-have in every home. Go down to the show notes, click the link, and go to Amazon, order your book today. In fact, you should order 2 or 3 books and give them away as gifts. Why? Because if you're in the position of caring for another person, I can almost guarantee you know other people in the same situation you are. It's only natural that you'd be in touch with others through support groups or whatever that are going through the same things you are. That's human nature. So why not bless them with this knowledge also? Sow a gift that will, you know, matter when that day inevitably will come. So go down to the show notes, click the link, order your copies today. Nancy, thank you for coming back on the program and sharing this important information with us.
Thank you, Robert. And like I said, you can get it done without getting done in, right?
Amen. That's right. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Nancy May and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.